hours, but she can't find us.
I wish we'd been home when she left.
The future as Americans should, confident and unafraid.
I now call upon Miss Gail McCauley, Vice President of the graduating class, to address you. Miss McCauley.
You'll enjoy sporting events.
KBTV Denver.
Hello, I'm Dwight Edmond, and this is Channel 9 Nightcap News. After a 5.5-day pause, American bombs are again falling on North Vietnam. President Johnson ordered the resumption of bombing attacks Monday, thus swinging the war into full-scale action for the first time since the Lunar New Year truce. In the south, B-52 bombers hit a communist-based camp near Da Nang and a suspected communist headquarters in the Central Highlands. On the ground, U.S. troops killed at least 47 communists in two separate actions. In Washington, President Johnson said he had no choice but to resume the bombing of North Vietnam. The president said Hanoi used the pause not to talk peace, but to build up war troops in South Vietnam. But Mr. Johnson emphasized that the door to peace is and will remain open. Secretary of State Dean Rusk has arrived in Buenos Aires for a meeting of 20 Western Hemisphere foreign ministers. He told an airport news conference the United States cannot leave one side free to continue the war in Vietnam. A reporter asked if the delay in resuming the bombing of North Vietnam after the Lunar New Year truce was intended as a signal to Hanoi. Rusk replied, "We have been waiting for a long time to see if there is anything from Hanoi." The hemisphere meeting, opening on Wednesday, is intended to streamline the inter-American system. More fuel was added to the fire Monday night in the continuing controversy over the Warren Report on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. Senator Strom Thurmond says the Kennedy assassination was the result of a communist conspiracy. The South Carolina Republican told a Lincoln Day audience in Lubbock, Texas, Monday night that investigators would find this out if they got to the bottom of the case. Thurman didn't say who the conspirators were or how they carried out the crime. Authorities in Newcastle, Wyoming report that a suspect has been arrested in Rapid City, South Dakota in connection with a double murder in Newcastle. Both the sheriff and police chief of Newcastle have gone to Rapid City, but further details are not known and the suspect has not been identified. Sunday, two persons were killed and authorities in five states have been looking for a man described as a bum. The victims were 35-year-old William Adams of Colorado Springs and Mrs. Marion Mason, about 60, the owner of the historic Eggert Hotel in Newcastle. Mrs. Mason's body was found by a Colorado car salesman, Earl Scarry of Littleton, Sunday morning. Adams' body was found later by authorities in a second-floor room. Officials say it appears that both victims had been strangled. A Commerce City woman and her three children escaped injury Monday when fire gutted their small house. The fire broke out just before noon at 5850 Magnolia Street, the home of Mrs. Margaret Masters. Mrs. Masters says she and her three small children, 4-year-old Danny, 3-year-old Sherry Lynn, and 5-month-old Patty, were in the house when the blaze broke out in the kitchen. Douglas Quigley, a Commerce City policeman, was driving by the home when he noticed smoke. and then saw Mrs. Masters and her children running from the house. Quigley called for fire equipment, then checked to make sure that no one else was in the house. The fire heavily damaged the house before firemen finally brought the blaze under control. And Monday evening, fire completely gutted one building and two house trailers during a 45-minute blaze at the Rocky Mountain Precast Concrete Company at 4001 South Clay Street in Sheridan, a suburb of Denver. Seven fire trucks were called to the scene, but by the time firemen had controlled the flames, an estimated $100,000 in damage had been caused. Firemen reportedly were hampered in their efforts by lack of water at the fire plugs and had to use a pumper truck. The main office building of the company and two trailers used for record storage space were completely destroyed. Last Thursday, a truck hit a bridge span under construction at West 6th Avenue and the Valley Highway due to insufficient clearance. The highway department erected signs warning of low clearance and put girders in place on each side of the bridge to avoid any recurrences, but it wasn't enough. Monday, a truck loaded with junk automobiles slammed into one of the two girders, knocking it down, and continuing on, hitting the girders being installed on the construction project. Several of the autos were knocked from the truck and scattered on the highway. Six men who were working on the second girder were not injured. The driver of the truck is identified as William Pulls of Laramie, Wyoming. The temporary girders were installed in hopes that they would keep over-clearance vehicles from hitting the construction work, but apparently some other safeguard will now have to be found. A compromise sub-districting bill was agreed upon by the Colorado legislature Monday. Details in just a minute.
Two famed writers immortalized the deeds and the daring of Navy jet pilots. Here is raw courage and great glory in the face of superhuman odds thrillingly brought to the screen by Van Johnson, the jet pilot who experienced an air rescue stranger than fiction. Walter Pidgeon, the nerveless task force flight surgeon. Louis Calhern as the celebrated author James A. Michener. Dewey Martin, central figure of one of the most astonishing rescues in Navy history. Keenan Wynn, the hard-boiled veteran jet ace. Frank Lovejoy, squadron leader of the fearless Navy jet pilots who blazed a new trail in air adventure across the Pacific skies. Here you will see the suspense-packed rescue that wrote a new page in aviation history.
See Van Johnson and James Michener's Men of the Fighting Lady in color Thursday night following the 10 p.m. news on KBTV.
The Colorado legislature has delayed until Tuesday consideration of a compromise legislative subdistricting bill worked out by a House Senate Conference Committee. The six-member conference committee reached final agreement on the bill Monday, and it had been expected that the legislature would consider the compromise measure the same day. But Senate Majority Leader Frank Gill of Hillrose decided to hold up consideration until Tuesday so the new version of the bill could be checked for errors and retyped. All six members of the conference committee, including four Republicans and two Democrats, signed the compromise committee report. Gill says Senate Republicans agreed in caucus to accept the compromise reapportionment bill. House Speaker John Vanderhoof of Glenwood Springs says he expects the House also to go along with the compromise version. Last week, the proposed implied consent bill was killed by the Judiciary Committee of the Colorado House of Representatives. The bill would have required drivers suspected of drunk driving to submit to a blood alcohol test. One of the legislators who voted no on the bill is Representative Tom Grimshaw of Lakewood. He says he will support what he believes to be a better weapon against drunk drivers. He explained his position for Channel 9 News.
I can only say that I made my vote with the greatest of humility. I felt, though, that the advocates of implied consent did not make an argument that the passage of the bill would reduce traffic fatalities. It's agreed that drunks should not drive, and I certainly agree with that. The question is, would this bill prevent drunks from driving? It's questionable that it would. Representative Wilder and Haskell and myself have introduced this day a bill.
I'm being called into Washington to be sworn in as Deputy Director of Neighborhood Youth Corps for Region 5, and that takes in the states of Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico.
What will your duties be?
Specifically, my duties will be involved with the educational aspects of Neighborhood Youth Corps. Whatever programs are involved right now with general education, I'll be concerned with this general area.
Continue Tuesday, but with strong southwesterly winds. High winds have been reported tonight in Boulder, and some minor damage has resulted. Winds gusting from 60 to 100 miles per hour in that area have broken out a number of windows, and it's reportedly blowing at a steady rate of about 50 miles per hour in some sections of the city. The forecast for the Denver metropolitan area calls for increasing cloudiness, wind, and warmer temperatures tonight. Southwesterly winds of 15 to 25 miles per hour are expected tonight, with a low reading of near 40 degrees. Tuesday, it'll be mostly cloudy and windy, with occasional snow likely Tuesday afternoon or night. The expected high Tuesday will be between 60 and 65 degrees. Denver's present temperature at Stapleton International Airport is 54 degrees with 25% relative humidity. Winds are westerly at 25 miles per hour, and the barometric pressure reduced to sea level is 29.6500 inches of mercury and falling. That's Channel.
Joyce Carey once said that if he knew of a visitor who only had 1 hour for all of London, that he'd send him directly to Westminster Abbey. For almost a millennium, it has enshrined the history of an island race. St. Edward's Chair has been used at every coronation since 1308. This is the Poet's Corner, an index to the lyrics of our language. The Empire Builders, the Fathers of Western Freedom, the defenders of that freedom and the defenders of the faith, they're all here. The annals of our heritage, enshrined to this Hall of Kings.
Incidentally, the piece of paper I threw in there was blank. This is the real note.